Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Wardell Potts Jr., and you have tuned in to Solar Records Radio. Thank you so much. And now, with that being said, it is time to take an adventure in the land of music. My brothers and sisters, what's going on? This is unusual. How are you? Thank you so much for being a part and the best part of Solar Records Radio. I just wanted to come on before we started and to say how much we appreciate you guys always being there with us and for us here and how much you guys bless us. And so we want to just get into this music that has been so good to us as individuals, as people, as fans of the music, musicians, producers, artists, the record company execs. It's been good to all of us. And I got to tell you, we all got that love and feeling when we were blessed by Dick Griffey for giving us all the opportunity to put out music with these amazing artists and let you guys hear it. And you guys responded by buying it, loving it, showing up at the concerts and blessing us. And you're still doing the same thing. So on behalf of Solar Records, I like to say thank you so much. And on behalf of Solar Records Radio, I like to say thank you to Mr. Dick Griffey. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for giving us this great opportunity to do our music, to express the feeling that God had put inside of us, to allow us to show the world the gifts that God has given us. So thank you, sir. Rest in peace. We appreciate you and we honor you. We thank you for everything that you've done. And so here we go, right here and now today, with that love and feeling from the group Dynasty. Let's go. Let's do it. Thank you so much. God bless you.
We'll be right back.
Wow. That loving feeling. Oh, my God. I just love it. I love it. I love it. It makes me think about my buddy Pepper Reed. Ernest Pepper Reed, the guitar player for Dynasty. We love you, buddy. We love you so much, Pepper. Thank you, man, for blessing us with your gifts. And we know you are gone with your creator now. But we miss you and we love you, man. Thanks for being in Dynasty. And thanks for, you know, just being just an amazing musician. Wow, he was bad. He was so good. Some people don't understand what bad means. They think, oh, wasn't that good? No. That means it was really good. So bad means good. That's really difficult for people when they're trying to learn English. Like, wait a minute, what are you saying? Bad means good, right? Right. And but anyway, there's a lot of other things we can go into about how our language is really something very different. But anyway, God is good all the time, guys. So listen, I want to keep this thing going here. I want to play some great music for you from our company here, Solar Records. In regards to Solar Records, how blessed we all were, like I said in the beginning, to be a part of this amazing machine, a part of this great deal that happened for us, and how God was so good to bless us with this. And much love to all of the people that help us to put this show together. Thank you, Greg and Astrid. Thank you, Don. And thank you to everybody, Gayla, for helping us to, you know, to put all this together so that we can do this for you guys. So we're going to today. Kevin Spencer may be calling in later. So I had a good talk with him as well. And so I want to get going because the music is just so, so good. But, you know, I don't know. It's just so many different things is coming in my mind and makes me want to play different things. But this song is so beautiful by the whispers in the background. Can we just listen to that a little bit? Can we just enjoy it? Come on. My man, you know, I gotta tell you, that song is one of my favorite Shalimar songs, because when we, it's something about that song. When we did that song, Dynasty, when Dynasty did that song for Shalimar, it was, there was something really special that was happening for us as we were going from one style to another. We started off with, you know, the kind of, it, you know, well, let's see, for Shalimar, it was Second Time Around, right? So it was, it first started off with that Take That to the Bank, and then the Second Time Around. And so as time was going, you could see that the style was changing slowly. And then when we got to this album, the, I think it was the Three for Love album, I'm not sure, it was amazing. We could feel the transition as we were growing. We were all growing as people, and we were growing as musicians, as songwriters. We were all growing. So Solar was growing as well with us. We all were growing together, and you guys were growing too, right, in what you liked and appreciate. And so we were all going together. And so when I hear There It Is, it just makes me, it reminds me of how blessed we were to, and you know, I could feel the growth. I could feel the transition. I could feel us getting better. I could feel a whole new pocket. And I could see my brothers as we were playing and recording the stuff. And I say to people so many times, and this is going to sound weird to some of you guys, but really, Dynasty and Shalimar was the same group with different singers. Because Dynasty did all the music, right, for Shalimar. So we, you know, we wrote and produced and played it. And so it was just, you know, if you took Shalimar off of it and put our girls on it, for Shalimar, I mean, for Dynasty, it would be Dynasty songs. And it's, and the same thing vice versa. If you put Howard Hewitt and Jeffrey and Jody on the songs that we did, like, you know, I've Just Begun to Love You and Does That Ring a Bell and all that stuff, and put them on it, then it would be, that would be the same thing. It'll sound like Shalimar or Dynasty. So many times people said, like, wow, you guys sound like Shalimar. That's because we were Shalimar. We were Shalimar. And Shalimar was amazing, a physical, amazing group. I mean, you get to see Jody does her, you know, she did her sexy walk and her sexy singing and her sexy just style, the way she dressed, the way she carried herself. She was a character, and she's still someone to be reckoned with, because she still carries herself in this arrogant, like, I'm ready for you. Let's do this, right? She's got it going on. And it's real, it's confidence, you know, you can see her confidence, and it just makes you proud. And so, you know, Janet Jackson has that same thing. It's just confidence, right? All these powerful women out here, they got that thing. And so, and then Jeffrey, just, you know, come on. Talking about Jeffrey Daniels sliding across the floor, the one that taught Michael Jackson the moonwalk, and, you know, I mean, and did the choreography. Jeffrey Daniels and his big afro and his wonderful smile, his character, his falsetto, you know, he's such a gentleman. And he was always very kind to everyone in the band. He was always like a brother to us. And and so, you know, because I played in the band with them as well. And so I just want to say, and then you got the crooner, Mr. Howard Hewitt, man, I mean, just a good looking brother, right? He's just a good, the girls are always going crazy over him. And and the crooner, I mean, a man that could do things with his voice that a lot of singers can't do, and that is to go from your natural to your false without breaking your vocal. You just go from one part to another part, and it's really hard to go from that low voice to that high voice in one motion without breaking the sound of your voice and taking a breath. And he can do that. He was is amazing. He has an amazing gift. confused. And so I'm trying to drink and talk at the same time. That doesn't work. But Howard has an amazing gift with his voice. And we were just always amazed at what, you know, like we would write the song, right? And then he would go in and sing and like, whoa. Really? Really? Oh, my God. Like, he made your song sound better, much better. And so it was always a pleasure working with him and having him to be the one that was going to deliver the goods on your song. So so those three together was just an amazing group of individuals that all of them brought something to the table. And they really blessed all of us, the listeners and the writers and producers and the record company. We all were blessed because of what they brought to the table, right? And so, and then you got Dynasty, you know, with, you know, multiple producers and writers and song, you know, just a crazy musicians. And the ladies were just beautiful flowers. And they were able to bring, you know, what they brought to the table. Nigel was amazing on the stage. Whenever we went somewhere, she was able to just adapt to the situation. And it's nice to see ladies, you know, cheering on other ladies. It's just a blessing. And so the ladies liked her. And that made it easy for us. You know, they weren't like thinking, oh, who does she think she is? They actually liked her. And so that was beautiful to watch as we were performing. And you got Linda Carrier, who was just, you know, a French girl. She's a Creole, right? So she has that different look. Like, what is she? What is this? You know? And she's beautiful. And she would come with a whole nother style. And not so in your face, but just real classy. She's a very, she's like a Diana Ross kind of smooth, classy kind of singer, right? And then you got Kevin Spencer, that's very aggressive and somewhat you know, confident, you know, and ready to go for it and make it happen, and just a wonderful personality. William Shelby, rest in peace, with his smooth and gentle vocal, and just amazing songwriter that he was. He wrote some of the first he did write the first gold and platinum record out of Solar. And so he has a legacy that will live on forever. And then you had Leon Silvers, of course. I mean, the producer that's producing everybody in our group. And you know, and from the Silvers. And, you know, and just his bass lines were absolutely amazing. And we loved when he sang falsetto. We did a song by Prince, I Want to Be Your Lover, and he used to always hit those high notes, and it was just amazing. And Prince got the opportunity to see us perform his song as we did it in our shows in the early part of our career. And so, like I said, we just had a bunch of great Ricky Freeze back there on the keyboard, Wardell Potts on the drums, Richard Randolph on the guitar, that rhythm that was just, rest in peace, Richard. His guitar parts were just amazing. And so he used to drive that train with that rhythm. And so thank you, Richard. Thank you so much, Richard Randolph. So Dynasty and Shalimar really were like a combination of each other. And we were blessed each other. And it was just a great, great opportunity for Dick Griffey, you know. And so, but anyway, that's what I wanted to say about There It Is. That's how I got there, because that song, oh my goodness gracious, what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me today. We are going to just continue to play some of this music that was made by this company. And we're grateful that Dick gave us all the opportunity to do this. So let's keep going here on Solar Records Radio. And with this amazing group. Oh, Lord. Come on. Midnight Star.
to leave my condo to come to this. Well, I'm back, but this time I'm with my man. And these women are putting their hands all over his Yamamoto Kanzai sweater that I bought. And I'm much, much unhappy about that. I'd hate to come down to the level and become a BW, a basic woman. But if they don't stop, it's gonna get scandalous.
Lots of energy, lots of fun. Those are our girls' Climax right there, meeting in the ladies' room. And, you know, that was always one of those fun songs to witness, watching them perform it and just watching them grow as young ladies. When they started out, they were just amazing, and all that energy, and just to remember all that history that's locked in my brain. And I was blessed by just the relationship with them and stuff. So thank you, Climax, for, you know, working so hard at what you did, and thank you for doing it well. We do appreciate you very, very much. And so they're still out there doing their thing as well. So if you get a chance, go check them out. They're all over the place. Much love to all of them. Anyway, so we want to keep this music going here. I love doing this for you guys, playing this music for me, taking me back down memory lane here on Solar Records Radio. And I just want to give a shout out to Rocky Robbins last night for coming on the show and Throwback Thursday night show with Don Fleming and myself. We had a great conversation. And so thank you, Mr. Robbins, and a shout out to your grandson. Much love to the little guy. So, but anyway, yes, so as we were growing and stuff, you know, there were other groups. Midnight Star actually brought the deal to Solar Records, and so they discovered the deal, Babyface and LA and all those guys, and so. Let's take a listen to, you know, them as they came in and start making their noise and doing their thing at Solar. We love those guys. Much love, and thank you guys for tuning in. Let's rock and roll. Deal. All right, guys. All right. Y'all know who that was. That was Collage. And much love to Collage. And, hey, I'm on the phone with Kevin Spencer, so we should be hearing from him shortly. But in the meantime, I want you guys to hear this amazing Solar mix that we have here for you. All right. So kick back. Oh, as a matter of fact, you want to do some cardio? Here is the big
right now, we want you to get your hands together, and we're going to start your party. Let's welcome Solar Recording Artist. Solar Recording Artist.
Thank you.
Because I got my brother Kevin Spencer from Dynasty on the line. What's yes. up, KB?
Yes, sir.
How are
I'm
you?
I'm right here. I'm doing just fine, Warrior.
Hey, man.
And how I see you're doing just fine.
Oh yeah, man. You know me. I just love the music. I love what it does, and I love, you know, I love our history. And not just the history of the music that was created, but I love our history in terms of, you know, how we all came together, how we met one another, how we loved each other, how we blessed each other, how we taught each other, you know, how we shared with each other. I love that history that we have together, man. And so that's why it's a blessing to have you on the line right now. How you been, man? I heard you moved across country.
I did. I've moved down to the Delta.
All right.
Moved
and you
Louisiana.
Went right past me. He went right past me, guys. He went right past me.
Yeah,
but, one,
but it's not
one,
that. It's not as
yeah.
far as one might think.
No,
it's not that
exactly.
far.
He's only like one state over. I think it'll take me about 7 hours to get to Kevin. Because I think it takes me.
You're like going to San Francisco to L.A.
Yeah, because it's about the same as when I go to New Orleans. It takes me about 7 hours. So I don't know. Are you
New Orleans is only 50 miles from Baton Rouge.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, so Baton Rouge comes before New Orleans, right? Coming from the west side. Right?
Yeah, coming from the west.
I'll get to you before then. So maybe an hour. So that's 6 hours away. You're 6 hours away. So as I'm on my way to the East Coast this summer, I'm going to come by and say hello and see the new house and stuff. And so you like it out there. You like it out there in the country, huh?
Yeah, I'm a country boy, yeah. I'm learning. I've been a city boy my entire life, and so this is definitely a learning experience.
Yeah, a new venture. Hey, Kevin, why don't you just, can you tell us how you came up with Take That to the Bank? How was that song written? Because that's you. I know your sound, and I hear those chords. That is you. So can you tell us how you came up with this?
What I remember is that Leon had invited me over to his house over there on 84th Place. And he said, yeah, man, I have to write this single for Shalamar. Dick Griffey has a new group called Shalamar, and it has like Jody Wiley. And he said, Jeffrey Gans. I said, Jeffrey Gans is my cousin. I said, I haven't seen him since we were in junior high school. I said, that'll be fun. So I got over to the house, and I wrote, if I remember correctly, I may have that day or not, I had a nice 10-speed that you and I used to share.
Yes, and yes.
Yeah, and that was a bad bike, Wardy. That bike was tough.
As a matter of fact, I thought it was mine. I rode it so much.
It's all right, because it wasn't being used. I wasn't riding it.
Because we had started, and
I was driving the Volvo more and more because my father had fixed it up, and so I kind of put the bike to the side when I got some wheels. And when I got there, he had the one piano set up, and he had the a Roland, I think it was an 808. And I just remember sitting in front of it, and I played a chord, and he said, yeah, that one. And then I played a chord after that, and he said, yeah, that one too. And then, so he kind of picked me for chords and told me where he wanted me to play them is what I remember. And I sat there and I did that. And it probably took maybe 40 minutes at the most. It wasn't that long. It didn't take that long. It seemed like you were there, Wardy.
No, I wasn't. I was in North Carolina. That was another song. Yes.
Okay. So after we found all the chords, he arranged them how they would come, you know, what section would come, and the track was essentially done at that point in about an hour.
Wow.
And then I left and went back home. And the next time I heard anything, Leon had put the lyrics and the melody on and suddenly, we're gonna record it. And then the rest is history.
All right.
It was in the top five on the Billboard chart. And Shalamar didn't look back after that. And neither did we as Throwdown Brothers. We continued to work more and more and more until that's all we knew, basically. My daily life was seeing if we were in the studio and you and I were roommates at that time. So oftentimes we would go together, and if we didn't go together, we ended up there ready to go to work.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, just like, you know, I'm excited because Kevin is, he's so, so smart.
I don't feel that way, Woody. I just feel like regular old Kev.
Well, that's what you
are,
regular old
Kev. I just feel like your boy. And we were, and the difference was we were young. And we didn't have all the experience that we ended up gathering.
What was your most fun on the Solar tour? Solar, the Solar Galaxy Stars tour. Was it?
I enjoyed New York when we played the Phelps Forum quite a bit because they gave us a big party at a club, I remember, and we met. Phyllis Hyman and a lot of other.
That was Madison Square Garden.
They called it the Felt Forum because it was Madison Square Garden, but inside of Madison, there's two sections, and the section that the concert took place in was called the Felt Forum.
Oh, I was thinking. When you
and
said
the other side is where. Yeah, it was Madison Square, but one side is where the basketball and hockey and all that occurs.
Okay, Kevin.
And the other
let me
side
ask you
is
this.
Where.
Now you since you remember everything, you remember so much. At least not everything, but so much. Do you remember me dancing with her?
I didn't because there was so much going on, Wardy.
Everybody was laughing.
That was an action-packed tour.
Yes,
there was something new. Well, and I don't remember, but I don't doubt it. I know that.
We went upstairs. I think the party was upstairs, right? And we went upstairs
upstairs. I stayed downstairs because Sky was there, and I liked the Sky and the girls they had, and so I was getting to know one of them.
Denise?
And then
I talked to them all the time, Kevin.
I saw the singer Sylvester. Huh?
I talked to Sky all the time. They're on the show all the time.
Yeah, I talked to Denise.
Yeah,
Wilkerson.
Denise. Yes, Denise.
You know
Denise is amazing. Yes, she lives in New Jersey. And their career started the same year as mine, 1979. And when And the Beat Goes On came out, that's when they were taking off with their records. I was like, what?
She told me, you know, she said that Sky got a lot of ideas from the music we were doing.
I know.
And she said that we influenced them.
Yes.
Then I thought about it, Wardy. I said, Sky was on RCA just like Solar Records was being distributed by RCA. I said, so they probably tell them, hey, and we were hot like that at that time especially. They were probably telling them, see if you can do some of that Solar sound stuff.
Yes.
Yes. And they did, because, you know, call me and all that. And,
yes.
And celebrate and whatnot.
Yes, they got it going on, man. They're still out there doing it. The girls, the sisters, are still doing their thing, and I'm so proud. I'm so proud of them. And Austin is Denise's husband. Do you remember Austin? That's her husband.
I didn't meet him, but she must have been involved with him because I tried to get her phone number so I could flirt and attempt to court with her, and she said, I don't think my boyfriend would like that, and so we just kept in touch and made a friendship.
But
she was beautiful, man. She was a gorgeous girl, and I'm not saying that she's not now. I'm just saying when we were in our you know, early 20s back then.
Yeah.
She
really was,
is my point.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And so anyway, I just want to tell you, I went upstairs at the Madison Square Garden when we performed there with the Whisperer, Shalimar, Lakeside, and Dynasty, and you said that the other groups were there as well. They, I guess they opened up before. I'm surprised that they would be at the same, that they performed. Did they perform it at the same show or no?
I know Evelyn Champagne King was there, and she was riding piggyback on Frankie Crocker.
Oh.
And so was GQ. I do love you that.
Okay.
They were there backstage. So when
okay.
we were backstage,
so
were ready,
backstage,
there were groups that were stopping by to say hi while we were in the dressing room. That's
right.
I remember.
Yes. Well, yeah, it was a lot of people there. A lot of people came by. But Stephanie Mills, yeah, because she was into Jeffrey.
I'm telling you. And so, look, there were so many people there, man. That was just one big party with stars galore.
Yes.
And it was all Stolar had come to town and we performed. And that's my impression, that all those people came to meet and greet us and give honor to Solar Records, because Solar Records at that time, you know, there wasn't another company like Solar Records.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was.
You know, we had broken through on a new era. And the way we were recording and how, you know what I'm saying, we still operated the way that a live band does in the recording studio. We could see one another. I could see you in the drum booth. You could see me sitting down in front of the keyboards. I could see Ricky Smith. I could see William Shelby. You know, Leon used to come in and cop a stool, and he'd be playing right there, and we'd be looking. We had full eye contact.
Oh yeah, I could see everybody from the booth that I was in.
Especially with you waving your sticks. You have your sticks and be holding them up, waving them up, talking about 1, 2, 3, 4. And I said, look at him.
But you know, somebody got to count it off.
Yeah, and
somebody had to count it off.
However, they had that drum baffle set up. It was so you could be seen and you could see everybody. And
this is the thing. I was in a glass. Remember, I was in a room. It was a glass.
But it still had some things, you know,
baffle boards.
Keep the
but
drum
they were behind
sounds
me.
Separated.
Yeah, the baffle boards were behind me. It was just not like it was like any other studio that I was recording in. The baffle boards were around me, but in Studio Masters, the baffle boards were behind me, and we did most of our hits from Studio Masters. So I think that was the sound that we preferred, and not just us, but the audience.
It was home.
Kevin.
That was home for us, Wardell. I didn't know any of the studios really. And when Leon did use another studio, that studio seemed rinky dinks to me compared to Studio Masters. You know what I'm going?
Yeah, well, Studio Masters. It's like that was the spot for us. And as a matter of fact, we dominated it. We actually took over the studio. Nobody else could book in the studio
because
we would block it out
months at a time. Because they couldn't block out any studio time because we were in there so much. It became hard for them to even book somebody else because
they couldn't. Yeah,
you know,
So, John Wood was the only one that would record. He would record his own jazz stuff when we were gone. he would be recording at three o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the
like
morning. He started recording.
He's just kicking it, entertaining himself.
Hey, Kevin, a question from overseas. When you were singing, you were doing vocals, did you prefer to sing or did you prefer to play an instrument?
I didn't have, I was doing both things just as equally much as the other, it was, it would be more for me that it was time to perform a task, and the task was needed for us to complete. So I, it was a responsibility in my eyes.
Okay.
You know, I was just always prepared, and I did both things on certain days. You know, it wasn't like I just had days where all I did was sing. They would be, I come in and you'd be there, and Ricky and everybody, Pepper and whatnot. And we would play earlier that day, and then that evening, Leon might have me doing a lead or some backgrounds. And, you know, because Leon used me to lay the you know, it's like, you know how Leon did backgrounds. He used to.
You know, I know. I had no choice. I was stuck at the studio.
So what he would do was start with me because he could get a solid.
Foundation,
that's correct.
Yeah.
And then they would build their background parts one at a time on top of mine. And because I was I had become the fastest one at doing it, along with I was accurate at that time, you know.
Yeah.
I was getting the notes and holding
young and
the
strong
notes
and ready.
So it wasn't that I, you know, I like one thing more than the other. It's that
Let me ask you this. That was a question from overseas. In terms of instruments, what instrument did you like to play the most? Because you played the bass.
I wanted to play the bass, but that would not happen after the end. You know what I'm saying? Leon was the bass player, unquestionably, undeniably, unchallenged. Ended up getting better at playing the keyboards because that's all that he needed me to do for him.
I'll say
I enjoyed the keyboards because when I have time and I can listen back like you're doing right now, Whitey. I found things that I liked about the keyboard parts that, you know, that I was playing. And do you know that right now, I'll be sitting listening to it, and I said, what was I doing? How was I doing that? You know, I was like, I can't even, some of that stuff, Wardy, I'd have to relearn it.
Listen,
just
I got to,
you know, just if we said, oh, we want to play this song, I'll be like, y'all gonna have to give me some time. I'm gonna have to steady myself.
Can somebody give me a chart, please?
Hey, I can recharge. You know that, Wardy. I know you and I for sure were at LACC in the music part.
Yeah, the music school. Yeah, and that was good.
And I was learning how to read. Why I was there was so that I could learn how to read charts.
Right. Right.
And
well, it's kind of hard. To stay focused on the reading part because I was at Norfolk State before I went to LACC doing the same thing, learning how to read. I was playing in the orchestra and everything. And then I came to LACC with you and started going to college there and was still learning the same thing. But when we got in the studio with Leon, he didn't want us to read. It was like, he's like,
he didn't have anything for us to read. What do you remember?
There was no chart. So he was like, play what you feel. Play what you feel. And so that's part of the gift that we were.
That's why we stopped learning how to read because we never had to.
Yeah, exactly. But I got to tell you this, Kevin. There was a sense of comfortability for me when I look back and I remember there was a sense of comfortability for me when you sat on the Baby Grand. Something about you playing that Baby Grand.
He put me on that a lot. And you know what it was? Wardy, Make That Move, that's what I played for that track was. the gravy band, the baby grand.
Yeah, the baby grand, right?
And
of course.
And I was doing those slides, just ring, ding, ding,
yes.
ding, ding,
yes.
ding. So
yes.
I had a lot of time in
yes.
maneuvering myself on that baby grand.
Yeah, so
I got to where I was good enough at it, where I was comfortable. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, it was a blessing, man. And I just have to say thank you for, you know, just... helping me along the way to opening up your home, as you know, you treated me so well. You know, I really felt like your little brother, your mom and dad.
Well, you were the brother.
Home.
You were the brother that I never had.
Well, he was born.
I'm saying no, I never met him. He passed away as an infant.
Yeah.
So you were the brother that I had never had.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
just happened to remind me of my dad, so it was like you were my brother because you even favored the family.
It was easy, huh? Yeah, it was a blessing for me, you know. And guys, it's really important, like, in any situation, it don't have to be music, but in any situation that you may be in, and when you're trying to pursue something, the best thing is to have people support you in what you're doing. And most of the time that comes from your family. But when it comes from people that you don't even know, like the Spencers, they were all the way on the other side of the country. And then God sent me over there, and I ended up with them. And I was completely, like, they were like my family. I was like, I have a family away from them.
That's who we were.
Right. It was
you had your father figure, your mother figure. And
right.
they had
a brother that I never
system.
Had. I never had a brother either. So I had all sisters. So I had a brother
right.
now, and he's a musician. Oh, it's on. It was on,
yeah.
and we had
yeah.
a great time.
Yeah, it was a place to be, and God brought it together. And nobody could have tried to organize that situation. You know what I'm saying? You didn't see it coming, but yet it existed, and it worked all together for the good.
I have
a
question.
In a way that nobody could have predicted that, man.
Absolutely. Nobody could. It was destined. It was supposed to happen. And it did, and I thank God for it. And I'm blessed every single day because of it. And so that's, I mean, come on, man. My company, my radio station is named Solar Records Radio because of it. So listen, it's another question, but it's for both of us. But I'm gonna let you answer first since you're the older brother. All right. So the question is, did you both ever feel at the time that work took over the enjoyment of creating music?
No, because a lot of time, I'm sorry, I might have jumped in too soon.
No, that's good. Go ahead.
All right. No, because oftentimes, you remember, Wardell, when we'd be rehearsing, all of a sudden the rehearsal would turn into a songwriting session. Okay?
Right.
And so, there was no, to me, there wasn't much separation, there wasn't much separation for us because I remember Wardell, we had been rehearsing and Wardell and look, Leon had been drilling us on the show over and over. We would play half of the show and he would say, stop. And because somebody made a mistake and then we would start, he'd say, from the top, one, two, three, four. And I said, dang, we got to play all the whole show again because one person made a mistake. And then it got to a point where we were playing the show so much till if somebody made a mistake, I remember Ricky and me, and we'd be laughing because we knew good and well they knew better than to do or not do what they were supposed to do because we were so well rehearsed. Okay, I remember after one time we were up there on Wilshire Fine Arts, and Leon let us play the whole show all the way through. And as soon as we got through, he said, it's starting to sound a little something. He said, that wasn't bad. It's starting to sound like a little something. And he said, from the top, one, two, three. I said, oh, no. And we did it again. And he let us go all the way through without stopping. And when we finished, you were still sitting behind the drums. And you did, and you know, you've been playing drums, Wardell, for at least 2 hours. And you were playing a little ditty on the drums. And all of a sudden, I started doing something on the keyboard. And what it turned out to be was Love in the Fast Lane. I don't know if you remember. And Leon stopped. And he looked at us, and I was din-din-din, and we was wham, 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 wham. And Liam stopped, looked at us. The rehearsal's over now. And Liam went and picked up his doggone bass and started going, doon, 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 doon. And the next thing he said, yeah, we got to record that tonight. We got to record that tonight. Man, we just got the rehearsal. What are you talking about?
We were exhausted, but we loved it. Because we were music. We were born to do that. It was who we were.
I remember. Yeah. And we were. And I remember we was in there sweating and going on, doing the, you know, going over the show. And then he said, we're going to record that tonight. We were still, look, that was supposed to be a break, Wardell. He said, okay, y'all can take a break. And then here go your behind, hitting the drums. You started that, homie.
Listen. Did you guys hear what Kevin just said? He said, I started it. As the rehearsal was over,
yeah.
And then I started it, okay? Kevin started playing whatever he started playing. Then Leon got excited and picked up his bass. And then he started playing. But the bottom line is that I need you all to remember this. You are my witnesses. I started it. I didn't get any credit for that song.
I know. But no look, but when we stopped, it. You know, when we stopped, we hadn't had lunch and that Taco Bell was downstairs.
Yeah, that's the best tacos I ever had.
And look, that's where everybody had their mind. Everybody's mind was on going down Taco Bell and get whatever burrito
taco.
Then Leon said that it's starting to sound okay. We can stop, and you stop playing the drums. That was the end of Taco Bell. Don't you know it?
I'm sorry. But listen, the world got a great. The world got a great song. The Whispers got a number one hit. We're blessed, but I didn't get my songwriting credit. Can we go back and can I get some credit for that? Can somebody send me something?
I never had a problem with that because I couldn't tell half the time who would get the credit. I got credit for things that I didn't even begin. I would come in and figure out a change
You should have got credit.
You know, after we would catch the groove, he would say, now we got to come up with a change. Okay, and sometimes I would find one. And Ricky would jump right on, right in there with me. And Will Shelby, too. Because that's how we did Pain Got a Hold on Me.
Right.
It was, okay, break. Yeah, y'all can eat or whatever now. And all of a sudden, it was like, ding, 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 ding. And here you go again playing drums. Pop, ding, pop, pop, and Will started playing, and Pepper started doing the guitar, and his part was so bad. And I remember he was over there on Will's side. Remember Pepper and Will shared the same side.
Yeah, Pepper and Will and Ricky and Richard.
Richard was over there with me in that corner. We had the keyboard corner.
You weren't in no corner.
So
you
Ricky
were,
and I were back to back
front.
And side to side.
You were, at one point y'all was on the stage at one point, but you got closer to the front. You kept getting closer and closer to the middle.
You know why? Don't be trying to act like you don't remember why.
You got closer
because
and closer
Dick
to the front.
Me and Leon
you kind of slipped away from us.
You girl.
You left us in the back.
That was
you
the decision that was made. That
hey,
was
Kevin.
Made for me because I said I didn't want to go up front with the girls, you know. And then Nigel was handling the front and he does good. And then he said, gonna put me in the middle. I said, I don't want to be up there with them chicken, they thing like that. And I got to sing in between. You know, okay, well, I wasn't down. I was not down with all that.
All right, I have one more question for you. We only got 15 minutes left in the show. The next question was, who does Kevin listen to now? Do you listen to any do you listen to old school? Do you listen to new school? Is there anybody out there that you may like?
I listen to people like George Duke. I listen to, you know, because that's what we were doing over there. I was listening to Lenny White the other day. And I was hearing what she used to do that Lenny would do on his recordings, you know, playing drums.
That was my idol.
And
Lenny White
roll,
was my idol.
Because when you used to roll, you used to press your rolls. Do you remember?
Yes.
When as you would get around to the top, you were almost about to stand up because you were rolling and you got the sticks and you would put more pressure on the sticks, you know, while you roll
that.
Like that.
Oh, man, stop that. You're making me get excited. I'm ready to go play again right now. Oh, man, my drums are right behind me, and I'm in the studio. I'm about to go back there.
If you were doing that then, you were doing it all wrong. And you look so much like Tony Williams until I'm telling you, I was beginning to wonder, was he one of your
being
long
called
in. Brothers? Or, you know,
Tony Williams or Tony Westcott.
You showed me a picture of Tony Williams, and I said, that looks like you.
Yeah, Tony Williams. Oh, man. Anyway, guys, I got to say thank you to everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in today and blessing us. And Kevin Spencer, my brother, my real brother, Kevin Spencer, calling in and blessing us. And Kevin,
man, I don't have anybody else that was a brother to me like you were. I didn't even know what having a brother felt like until you moved in, and Pop was raising both of us because you were no more than 20 years old, Whitey. We was kids, bruh. I was 24, and, you know, around there, 23, 24. And so, look.
And I was riding a bicycle. I was riding a bicycle. That was my transportation.
But we weren't grown yet. We were young men. We might have felt like we was grown, but we weren't grown yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, man, I got to say, it was good. It was good, and I would do it all over again if I could, and I'm so grateful for all of you guys, man. So grateful. I just was texting with Ricky Smith. Much love from Ricky Free Smith to everybody, to all the listeners, and obviously to Kevin Spencer, who Ricky so loves Kevin. It is like, it's
man,
amazing.
Do you know I have known Ricky Smith since he was a
He was on here talking about
before then.
That's right.
Because my mother and his mother were best friends,
he had been born,
and he stayed in the bedroom because he was a baby, laying on the bed, and that was the first time my mother took me over to Ma Smith and LaJuan, and you know, his sister. And we played, LaJuan and I played, and Ricky was a baby laying on the bed, and he would cry every now and then, and his mother would go in and check on him. So I've been on Ricky since he was a small infant.
Yes, I know. Ricky was on a couple of weeks ago, and he was sharing a story, and he was talking about you guys were doing some playing or something when he was five, and I was like,
That was the first time, Maury, that he ever saw a, I mean, not that he ever saw, I'm wrong. Please strike that statement. It was the first time he was able to touch drums because my father and mother brought me a drum set from Montgomery Ward's, and it was blue. and it was and it was made out of plastic, man, the tom-tom and whatnot. Mm. They were made out of plastic, and Ricky went in there, and he could, you know, Ricky saw the drums in church all the time, but in church they don't let you touch your drums, you know. After the service is over, Wardy, you know, the drums are sitting up there, and if a child goes up there and
they get pulled off.
That's what happened. Down.
Yes.
You know.
I know because I was that child.
You were one of those children.
Exactly. I got pulled off all the time.
And they never said, and what I want to say, Wardell, you guys never stop getting in trouble about going up there and touching them drums. Because I saw that happen repeatedly. And every kid that went up there, you know, because you've been sitting in church the whole time and the drums have been there. They were being played by someone, whoever was playing them at that time. And the kids saw the drums being played. And it looked like fun, I guess.
Oh, yeah. It's all the glitter and the glamour. It's like,
right.
And you can't help it. You're so attracted to it, and you're trying to get to it. And that's how I ended up becoming a drummer, because of that. You know, I was so attracted to it.
And I know that was a happy day, the first time they ever didn't put you off of the drums or out of the pulpit. For you to be up there and be playing the drums, man, you must have been in some kind of little heaven.
Oh, I was in heaven, man. But I got in trouble before I got drums. I was banging on the table. And so eventually they got me drums. Stop banging on the table.
That's par for the course. That has to happen. I think every drummer pays a price for them to become a drummer. Tell me if I'm lying.
You're not lying.
I feel like y'all pay a price, because nobody is really open to y'all beating on stuff.
Yeah, because they have no idea. They think we're just crazy. They don't know that we're trying to become something. We just, it's inside of
you. But you are crazy. That's the whole thing. Y'all be crazy, man. Nobody ever chased me away from a piano when I was growing up. You might get too loud and they tell you, quiet down and stop hitting all them keys like that. But nobody ever makes you get up and get off of the piano. You see what I'm saying? They make y'all come down from there.
I was downstairs in the basement practicing after he helped me to get these $500 drums. It cost $500. I'm down there practicing, and he comes in the house and turned the lights off. That's it. You're done.
And this was funny. You had a $500 drum set, as you said, but you hadn't even seen $500 to know
he's paying for it. I saved up a little bit.
Wait, that's my point. He bought you something that you had never even seen, that kind of money. I'm talking about just walked in a room and it was laying somewhere. You hadn't even seen what $500 would look like. Just like I've never seen a million, you ain't never seen $500. So don't even be sitting up there trying to act like you have.
All I know is that he spent $500. He should let me practice more. I could have been a better drummer.
You've been doing that all along. How good do you want to be? You played on every doggone thing. How good do you need to become to play on everything? You were already where you were supposed to be.
I was blessed. God blessed me with that gift. And I would always give it the glory to him. Thank you, Lord. And listen, we got a room. Thank you. I want to tell you, Kevin, that Greg from over in the UK says, what's up, Kevin? And
Is that Greg that he's my friend on Facebook? He's around you. You know him. I know that. I saw you take pictures.
That's our brother Greg over there in the UK.
All right.
He's the one that designs and does all the flyers for me. He's amazing.
Right, because what he told me the other day? He said that there was something about the how it gets dark or something that is changing. The days are changing in over there in the UK.
Okay.
He had noticed it. And so I said, oh, I didn't know that, I know where you are, but I didn't know that you were going through that. And then he said, it's just my British humor. He said, Kevin Spencer, it's my British humor. And so I said, good one, old chap.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in today. I'm going to play a song that Kevin and I wrote, and it just so happened to be Greg's favorite song. So here we go, guys. Good night. God bless you. And thank you, Kev. Thank you. It's Keep On Loving Me by The Whispers. We'll see you guys later.
Keep on doing it.
Keep on doing it, my brother. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.